Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Pastor Brad Easley. He's the pastor at King's Church here in Lexington, Kentucky. But we have been talking to him about, he was part of the prayer team at Asbury University when they had the revival back in February. And I was following him on Facebook. We're Facebook friends, and was just sharing just some of the powerful movements that he saw God do. And we just scratched the surface yesterday. If you missed yesterday's 14-minute program, really want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today.org. That's hopeishere.today.org, and check out that 14-minute program. You'll be really encouraged by that, especially if you didn't get to attend the revival. But if you did, I attended. I was blessed by it. I know that you will be. But Brad, as we continue looking at what God did there, just the things I was so amazed by, I just kept hearing reports of people, just so many different states, so many different countries. And what are some of the states or countries that you were exposed to with the several days that you and your wife Meg were part of the prayer team?
Sure, yeah, you bet. We honestly lost count, and there's a map that they had up on stage, and it was a phenomenal. I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of countries. You know, I personally prayed from people from Europe, from South America, Paraguay, from Bolivia, from Mexico, from Dominican Republic, from Ireland, from England, states as far away as California, Michigan, Florida, New York, you name it. We lost count. And I believe this is the right, I think 150 colleges represented too.
Wow.
On this. Students from different colleges were, it was mind-boggling, the scope of this,
Well, and I love that, the last, three or four nights that they said, hey, it's just going to be for, I believe, 25 and under, and yet they just kept coming,
right? Yeah, they did, yeah. And it's just, it reflects the scope, the desperation that people have from all over, all ages, And, it was beautiful to see, and it's hard. It was kind of hard to watch just the lines backing up there and just seeing so many coming in. I want to talk. One of the things that we encounter was just when the evenings come to a close, there's still people coming in. Let me tell you one quick story too. This was towards the full weekend. The services are winding down about 1 at night, and they're going to be shutting down the auditorium by 1 in the evening. So it's a full house, intense ministry from 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 till 1 in the morning. They're beginning, security's beginning to move people out just because they've got to shut it down. So we're one of the last ones, out. The prayer team people are one of the last ones out, and everybody else is gone. I see a security guard flag me down. He says, Brad, are you on, he's like, there's a couple here that's just arrived from out of town. And they literally just walked in the door, and they're looking for someone to pray with them. Can you pray with them? I can be honest with you. Look, it's 1, and I'm spent. I'm done. I'm like pouring out my guts. So tired. I'm like, okay, that's all right. So, of course, let's pray together. Let's bring them over. And we leave, and we go and find another place to sit and talk. And he's in the military. She's just a young woman. They're dating, and he's a believer. She is. She's a seeker, and just the Lord honestly gave me just grace in that moment, because it's 1:30 or so, and I'm exhausted. But the Lord just gave us a grace for that, and this is what she said. She was nominally religious, Catholic, I believe, religious background. But she began to talk about her background, how she in the past she remembered going to Mass and just the peace that she felt being in the house of the Lord. And she began to talk about her later years and of a teenager and how just because of some bad life choices. She just really began to feel lost and confused, And she just said, I feel so lost. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know where to start. We began to ask some more questions, trying to unpack what the issue was. And it became clear that her issue really was fear and confusion, just a lot of fear of the past. And the root of it was unforgiveness. She knew in her heart that a lot of the junk of her past was wrong, and it had broken her, and it had separated her from God, and she was so afraid of just that unforgiveness would never go away, and she really longed for that piece of her childhood, that piece of the past, and that faith, she was afraid of the future, you know. So in that moment, then we just took a few minutes and explained to her just the beauty of the gospel, you know, what the power of the cross meant in terms of forgiveness, and how the death and the resurrection of Jesus offered her something that she could not. And just to see in a few moments, just things begin to connect in her eyes and connect her mind, and just to begin to see her response and tears come to her eyes, and just begin to see her just receive that, you know, joy just come over her face as we prayed together. You know, and she missed the event, though. She missed the big thing. She missed the crowds, and she missed the experience, so to speak, you know, in quotes. But just the Lord met her. And that gave me a lot of hope. It really did, knowing that the Lord is ministering to people from all over. Met, you know, that 2 days later, the same thing happened. We walked out. We were leaving this time, 1:30 in the evening. it's lights are going out, and this gentleman from Nashville comes up to us, you know, music producer, and he's like, "I just arrived here. Can you tell me where the prayer meeting is?" I was like, "Buddy, I'm sorry to tell you, the prayer meeting shut down. It's done. It's like this is the last night for it, and they've closed the doors." You know, I said, "We'll be glad and pray for you, though." You know, it just reminds us, though, that ministry really is about the one, that all those lines of people, it's just, they're just individuals, mm-hmm. You know, they're individuals that are just desperate for an encounter. I mean, curiosity, Greg, does not cause you to stand in a line for 7 or 8 hours in cold weather.
Yeah, cold weather.
Listen, I'm curious too. You know, somebody word gets out about this crazy. Sure, I'll go. I'll check it out. I'll get a comfortable seat. Watch, see what's going on. Curiosity can only take you so far. That doesn't cause you. Desperation is what causes you to do that. Yeah. Pray with one young man. He's like, I say, "I'm 2 days clean of fentanyl. 2 days clean of fentanyl." He's like, "I've got to get clean of this. I've got to get free of this." He's like, "This is my last hope."
You know? Wow.
We just... So many instances like that of just people that are desperate, and just knowing, though, that the Lord is meeting them. And, you know, we talked, you know, at our last program about how everybody that came looking for healing wasn't healed in that moment. That's the hard part of revival is revival is messy. It's not perfect. You know, and us being a part of that, we kind of saw some of the stuff behind the scenes. You know, we saw a lot of the logistics, a lot of the mechanics that go into scheduling security and, you know, worship teams and serving volunteer teams. And it wasn't perfect. It wasn't messy. You know, there was iron sharpening iron. There were some things that clashed with people. And, you know, some people I know left disillusioned. Some people came into that auditorium wanting something that they didn't find. And that's the hard part of it, is that revival is messy. Yeah. You know, the kingdom is here, but it's not here fully. There's still, you know, Jesus hasn't returned yet. So there's still that process of working out. But I do believe that everyone who came wanting to encounter Jesus, I believe he met them. I do. You know, even people that couldn't get in, people that were there just waiting, couldn't get in. I think he met them in the line. And there are prayer people outside in the lines trying to minister to people as well.
Just tuned in. We're talking with Brad Easley. He's the pastor of King's Church in Lexington. But he and his wife, Meg, were on the front line several days, serving as part of the prayer team. And he's been sharing with us about some of the things that they experienced there. And, you know, you did a great Facebook post on your page during February. You answered the question, why Asbury? And I thought there's so many good nuggets in there. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time, but can you share a little bit about that? I mean, why Asbury for this revival?
Yeah, you bet. And in this post, I reflected some on this. You know, a lot of people ask, what's so amazing about Asbury? What's so special about that place? I think there's four reasons for that. One is that Asbury does have a history of interceding for revival. Asbury comes out of the Wesleyan holiness tradition, and its founding in 1890. There was a great tradition of camp meetings and revivalism in America. You know, the Second Great Awakening, and just it's part of the DNA of that movement is just seeking for revival, believing for the work of the Holy Spirit to come in and to fill and to transform hearts and lives and families. And so Asbury has plowed that ground for a long time. And in their own history, they have many instances of outpourings just like this, 1905 and 1950s, 1970s. When I was a student there in the 90s, there was another small outpouring just like this. So I think that's the first thing. I think the second reason for this is college campuses really are ground zero for Gen Z. And I think the Holy Spirit knew what he was doing by igniting Generation Z. And what better place can you find 1,200, you know, hungry students in a college campus? You probably won't find that in a church, but he found that on a college campus. I think the third reason is that Asbury institutionally had the infrastructure to support the kind of revival that we experience in terms of security, logistics, manpower, you know, just a support network in with civic leaders and community leaders. Most churches couldn't have done this. They had that capacity to allow it to grow to 10,000 or however many people it was. I think the fourth reason, though, is just important. Asbury, though, in spite of their ability to sort of support it, they weren't able to sustain it long term, and I think that's a benefit. You know, they're not called to be a revival house week in and week out, month after month after month. So there's something I think the Lord knew about this of just igniting this spark there, knowing that it wouldn't. There's not the ability for it to stay there. It's going to have to go out. It's going to have to go to other churches. Have to go to other campuses. I think that's what the Lord had in mind. So those are my thoughts on why Asbury. You know,
yeah, well, it was really, really good, and encourage you to maybe try to follow Brad on Facebook. We will have his name there and contact information on the podcast of this. But you know, it's sit there. The beautiful thing about it is that it's spread other places, Brad. You know, since then. So can you share just a little bit about that?
Sure, it's taken off at college campuses. Even within the first 2 or 3 days, there were reports from college campuses all over, several up in Ohio, one down in Tennessee, and then just continue to grow on. I heard from a church down in Mississippi. They sent some people up. Revival was breaking. That's a Baptist church in Mississippi. Revival was breaking out at this church down there when they got word of it. So it was and it is. I think the revival fire continues to spread even today.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know one of the things that you guys have coming up is a chance for people that, you know, if you just want to get together and worship, and I love it because you do it on Friday nights, you know. Mm-hmm. Lots of times, you know, you church on Sundays or Wednesday nights, but you guys have been doing something on Friday nights on a monthly basis. Share a little bit about that. And you've got one coming up this Friday, March 24th.
Sure. The fourth Friday of every month, we gather intercessors and worshipers together for what we call unbridled nights of worship. And this is a sort of a collective expression from several area churches, worshipers, intercessors. And this is probably our second or third year of doing this. And our heart really is just to cultivate Coles Revival in our city. This is what we desire. We think the Lord wants to do that. It builds unity. So we come together at 7 o'clock on the fourth Friday of most months. We've got one coming up here this week as well. And we're excited about that. And it's open to anyone and everyone. It's not a preaching, teaching service. It's just, you know, worshiping, interceding, asking the Lord to do more of what he wants to do.
Where are you guys located?
We're at King's Church on the south side of Lexington. If you know where the Summit is in that neighborhood, right off of West Tiverton, 301 Harvard Drive is the address. And the website for the Unbridled Initiative is unbridledprayer.org. And this is just a sort of an initiative that we've helped launch for prayer and revival in our city. So unbridledprayer.org, you can learn more about those nights of worship and some other things that we're doing as well.
All right. Well, Brad, thanks so much, man. Thanks for what you did at Asbury on the front lines there. Thanks for what you guys are doing at King's Church. Excited that God wants to keep his revival going, doesn't he?
He does. I'm excited about what's been happening in Lexington, in our city. There's been many, many people, many, many church leaders, yourself included, been praying for unity, praying for revival. I think we're seeing just the first fruits of this. I think more is going to come in the days to come.
Amen and amen. Well, Brad Easley, I'm Greg Horn. We'll have all the contact information, things he shared about with the podcast. We'll hope you'll join us again tomorrow for Hope is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. For all your heating and air needs, contact the professionals at Green Box Heating and Air. Locally owned for over a decade, Green Box Heating and Air wants to help you get ready now for the spring and upcoming hot summer months. To request service, call Green Box Heating and Air today at 859-279-0214. Again, that's 859-279-0214.